Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Check out the new Donegal Portland Leisurewear range online and in-store at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's just turned 5 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday evening. Welcome along to another edition of The Score. Coming up on tonight's show, we'll be looking ahead to the league semi-finals this weekend for both the men and women's sides from the Northwest. County managers Declan Boner, Fergal Logan, Rory Geller and Maxi Kern will all be on the programme. The League of Ireland Premier Division resumes tomorrow Friday after the mid-season break. We'll get the thoughts of Ollie Horgan, also Ethan Boyle on Van Harp's trip to Shamrock Rovers, plus Kieran Harkin on Derry hosting Bohemians. And Eamon McLaughlin will be taking a look at this weekend's cricket action with the start of the Northwest Senior League 40 over competition. It's all to come now over the next 50 minutes or so here on Highland on this Thursday evening, but we're going to start with ladies first and Donegal GAA. Donegal Senior Ladies will look to take their fine league form into this weekend's semi-final with Cork at Shum Stadium in Galway. Cork will be tipped as favourites, but Donegal will go into the game off the back of fine wins over Galway, Mayo and Westmeath. Donegal boss Maxi Kern says there is confidence in the side over that victory against the Tribes women last weekend, but also knows that this weekend's task is at another level.
Last week was a big lift to everybody. While Galway were short, a number of players, It's still a great day out when you can beat one of the big guns, and we went down the road full of hope, felt we had a good chance, but never does it to play it the way that it did. Look, you don't often have days like that where it all clicks, but it did click to this to a certain extent at the weekend there, and it puts us in a good position for this weekend.
Well, you need it all to click again against Cork, will you, if you're going to come out with a result?
You're stepping up to a whole new level now. The order of merit has been very clearly established in ladies football for a long time. Dublin and Cork have been at the top. I don't believe anybody else has got near an All Ireland title for close to 20 years other than Cork and Dublin. And Mayo will come and Galway have come, and we've flirted with the top run ourselves. But they have stayed consistently at the top, and that's still the same. They had a great tussle with Dublin there a couple of weeks ago in the regulation league match, and they lost maybe a point in the end. So They're a serious outfit, and we know we'll be pushed the pin of our collar. But look, at the same time, it's bonus territory for us. To be in this position and to get a game against a team like Cork is brilliant preparation for further down the summer.
Yeah, but at the same time, in saying that, Maxi, you would expect your team, who have performed very well throughout the league, that they're not far off that step up.
Well, look, we've always felt that we're not that far away. You go back to the match against Dublin last year, there wasn't an awful lot on it at the end, and Dublin were comfortable All Ireland winners. We played Cork in All Ireland final a couple of years ago, and there was only a goal in it, and it would be Cork in the league last year, it would be Dublin in the league the year before that. So, we've always had our battles, but as I would have alluded to the last week, it's a bit of consistency has been probably alluded to us, and we put a big onus going into last week's game that we consistently can beat teams in one-offs, but we hadn't really put back-to-back victories together against the big guns, and so we've done that now 2 weeks running, and the standard is definitely rising week on week. So we started off with Westmeath, and then we went up a notch against Mayo, and then up another notch against Galway, and it's definitely rising again this week against Cork. As I say, they're probably the second best team in the country, so it's brilliant. It's a brilliant learning position for us, and we're really looking forward to it.
Can you make it 3-1s back to back against three big teams? And if you are to do that, Maxi, it means that you're going to be playing for another number of weeks, because the final's penciled in for Sunday, June 27th. You've got your Ulster Championship game, of course, on Saturday week, and then this coming Saturday you're playing in the league semi-final. You've played for the last three weekends as well, so there's a lot of football in there, Maxi. Is it achievable that you can make it 3-1s on the bounce, and do you have the squad that can do it?
100%. We even had a challenge match with Waterford the week before the league started, so we would have played four in the bounce, and this will be week five in a row, and as you see with Gavin next week. But look, at there's long been a debate in GAA where the ratio of matches to training has been completely disproportionate, and nobody can say that this year. You know, the games are coming thick and fast, and there's nothing beats rhythm and momentum, and our girls have a bit of that at the minute. Yeah, we need all to play the very best teams in the country, but I say we've played the teams that are up near the top anyway, and look, there's no reason in the world we can't go and beat Cork. You know, we feel we can match anybody on our day, and look, there's a bit of confidence there now that, you know, the forwards have the wind in their backs now after a couple of big, you know, score range over the last couple of weeks, and you know, nothing beats confidence, and nothing beats, as I say, a wee bit of momentum, and that'll definitely do us no harm going into this weekend. But, you know, the Galway game, you know, maybe one may come back to haunt us down the line. We play them in the championship, but look, you can only play what's in front of you and perform as you do on the day. And you know, looking at the week ahead, it's we're going into a good position.
Panel-wise, how you fix this week, Maxie? Because as we said, these games are coming thick and fast. How you fixed on the personnel front?
Yeah, look, I think we're okay. Amy Boyle-Carr hasn't been available to us. She came off very early in the Westmeath game after 10 minutes, and she hasn't featured against either Mayo or Galway. And, you know, probably this week will come a bit soon for her as well. But look, apart from that, we have everybody, you know, at our disposal, and I think that's probably an advantage we have over most of their teams. You know, they're not picking from full decks at this point, and it's definitely allowing us to get a wee bit of, as I say, a wee bit of consistency in our team. You know, we're naming near enough the same team week in, week out, and there's relationships building and there's understandings building, and you know, that's all very, very important, and that's the beauty of having the games week on week. You know, you do get a chance to build that bit of understanding of each other's play, and you know, and look, there's 5-6 things, you know, we're getting wrong every day we go out, and you know, you get a chance to work on them week on week, and whereas, you know, if you're playing every 2 or 3 weeks, you don't get that same chance to correct things that go wrong. And look, as I say, there's loads of things going wrong, so that's the beauty of having the games coming thick and fast. And we got a large number of the subs got a run last Sunday, and you know, the training's going really well, and but the big numbers, the games are very competitive in training, and it's all helping.
Okay, listen, Maxie, thanks for talking to us. The best of luck at the weekend.
Thanks, Arthur. Thank you.
That Donegal Cork game on Sunday, starting at 3 o'clock at Tuam Stadium in Galway, will be live here on Highland Sunday Sport. Tommy Devan and Maureen O'Donnell will be on commentary for that game. The second semi-final sees Dublin up against Mayo in Limerick, and it throws in at 5:15. It's also semi-final for the men this weekend of the Division 1 last four encounters. Donegal against Dublin at 7:15 at Breffni Park in Cavan. I'll be joined by Martin McHugh on commentary. We'll have full match coverage here on Highland on Saturday evening. But before that, Tyrone are up in action against Kerry. Well, they're not up, they're actually down. They're making the long trip south to Killarney for the opening semi-final, which starts at 5 o'clock. Coming up in a few moments, we'll hear from Donegal boss Declan Boner. But first up, it is the turn of Tyrone, and in their first season in charge, the new joint management team of Fergal Logan and Brian Duer have secured the Red Hands top flight football for another season. Ahead of that long trip south, the Tyrone camp has an almost full deck of available for the semi-final. Speaking with Tom Comack, Fergal Logan was happy with the side's return in the group stage after an opening defeat to Donegal.
Tom, in three games, and you men and Donegal put us under pressure by beating us first night out, so losing your first game in a three-game league left you under significant pressure, so we rode it back a bit. We rode the waves a wee bit in both the other matches as well, but as you saw, it was a very, very competitive mix with the Ulster teams, and there was very little in between it, really. And so I suppose we're delighted that we've retained Division 1 status, because we literally were only in 3 weeks before that, commencing with the training. And it's a first year for myself and Brian, and I think we're the only management outfit in Division 1 who've come in. So listen, we're glad to be where we are. It involves a long road trip this Saturday, but that's life. Yeah. And we're happy to be in Division 1 next year.
Yeah. I know the regulations stated that if you had only one home game, you had to, if you qualify for the knockout stages, that you would get a home game. But given the climate and the COVID and all the issues that are around us, a shorter trip could have certainly been, you would imagine, could have been sorted out.
Well, possibly, Tom. It flies in the face a wee bit of a lot of stuff, but it's been that way for a year or more now with the public health emergency, and everybody's had to adapt and be resourceful and be resilient. So, yeah, but it wasn't within our gift. Ultimately, the game's fixed for 5 p.m. in Killarney on Saturday, and that's where we'll be.
It's not an issue with you.
Well, no, not at this stage, Tom. Absolutely, yeah. Just you find that football teams and players and managers generally just turn up and get on with things wherever. And that's where we're at. So at this stage, we're just trying to focus best on getting down there and being in a good shape to go and play football.
And are you happy with the way your preparation's done, or is your focus turned to championship like some other counties? Or you probably got a little breathing space.
Yeah, well, it was good in one sense to get that extra week this week and last week. We'll not look beyond this weekend, to be honest. And I know the championship's very close and not far away for everybody. Some teams might be turning their head to it at this stage, but I think the way the league's going to go in the years to come, that might determine your championship status too a wee bit if all the voting goes the way I think people anticipate it to go. So a lot of teams this weekend will be very concentrated on their league standing, and you'll find this weekend will be a very interesting and I'd say entertaining and a weekend. So across Ireland, I would say a lot of teams will be really focused on this league game. Obviously for us, you know, it's quirky again in the sense that there may not be a National League final, and we're in a National League semi-final. But again, the public health emergency, we just have to be adaptable and live with these things. But our preference would be obviously to win against Kerry and then hopefully have a National League final against against Dublin. But we're not speaking too well of our Donegal friends in that vein. But the only thing to know is they can play a National League final, as a matter of fact, are Tyrone and Dublin.
I think you played in the three games something like 25 players. Have you got a look at everybody you want to have had a look at?
Do you know what, Tom? We would like a bit more. We'd love to have had 4 or 5 McKenna Cup games to get a look at more and to see boys under match conditions and to stress test a few men. So, 25 is a fair spread, and we've tried over those 3 games to be somewhat fair, but in terms of game time and stuff, but it's very, very hard when you're facing results. And there are guys within the panel who've been extra patient and extra diligent, and they have to be respected for that. But somewhere over this whole journey, we hope that they get a fair go at it too, because you're never right. You're picking teams hoping for the best at times. So listen, we would like more game time and air time for everybody, and we've more to look at and more to do in Tyrone.
I won't say you've unearthed new talent in Dara Canavan and Paul Donnelly. Obviously, they've both come through. Obviously, in the case of Dara stepping up from minor and under 21, and Paul coming through from a very successful club campaign last season.
Yeah, those two men have stood up well. Cormac Monroe has come in too. Dara and himself were involved in under 17 All Ireland success. Paul had played underage and it was part of our under 21 setup that lost out after a replay up in Ballybuffet a couple of years ago. So we need it all, and the clubs in Tyrone and from the earliest of ages are shaping players and building players and training. So that's a credit to everybody in Tyrone GAA, particularly around the clubs. And we're lucky and blessed that we get to mix with these guys at the higher level, and we just hope that they do themselves justice and show everybody what they're capable of.
As we mentioned already, you faced the daunting journey, 600-mile round trip, but Kerry still have that aura about them as well. They may not be at the top table or taking honours. Obviously, Dublin have dominated that scene, but Kerry still have an aura about them.
Oh yeah, well listen, especially for the older generation like ourselves, Tom, no disrespect to you, but from my age up, we still have the videos of the golden years and the Kerry and the Dublin, so, it's an exciting challenge to play a Kerry and in Kerry too in that sense, but not just have they got that aura, and that history and that pedigree and tradition. They've a serious set of footballers at the moment, and David Clifford and others, Sean O'Shea, Paddy Clifford. You could go through every one of them, and to be honest, they're a serious, serious outfit. So you know, we'll be up against it on Saturday evening.
That's Tyrone Joint Manager Fergal Logan speaking to Tom Comack ahead of that semi-final in Killarney against Kerry. It starts at 5. The second semi-final gets underway at 7:15. Donegal will be fine-tuning their preparations this evening before the line-out against Dublin at Breffni Park. If Donegal beat the All-Ireland champions at the Cavan venue, they will not play a final. They will instead share the title as Declan Bonner will take his team to the championship at Down the following weekend. The likes of Neil McGee, Jimmy Brennan and Andrew McLean didn't feature in the draw with Armagh, while Michael Murphy will not be risked ahead of the championship against the Dubs. Declan says he will be putting out his strongest possible team for the game.
Looking forward to it, having to be quite honest. Any day you get an opportunity to play the best team in the land, it's always going to be a challenge, and the players and managing the league are looking forward to it, that's for sure.
Yeah, and in terms of, obviously, it's a strange game, isn't it? I know it's a strange year, and obviously it's certain circumstances that have dictated it, but it's strange in the sense that, you know, should you win on Saturday evening, there's no further game. You're playing your league semi-final, there's going to be no final. You know, you've only got 2 weeks to go to a championship game as well, a big championship game, and we know a lot of Donegal's expectations and targets and goals are in that area.
Well, listen, I mean, the league, yeah, it's been different, Tom, that's for sure. Listen, we had three very good games in the group stages of the league. I mean, as I said before, it was a mini Ulster championship, and, you know, there's very little between the teams, Donegal, Armagh, Tyrone and Monaghan. And, we've been top of that there. And it's a match now against Dublin. That'd be nice if there was something to play for in terms of a league title. But, that's not the case. And I think it definitely undermines the league in terms of, you know, when you start a competition, you want to see an outcome at the end and a winner. But the hand we've been dealt with, and we've been getting ready for it over the last week and a half now. And as I say, it's ideal preparation for us going into start of a championship 2 weeks later.
And tell me, what have you got out of the league so far?
Well, listen, we've used 28 players, and it was always something we wanted to look at. We wanted to look at players, we wanted to see where they were at. Yeah, we picked up a number of injuries along the way, no more than any other teams, but it's given other lads an opportunity to put their hand up. And, you know, a lot of those young lads have shown great character, especially in the last two games where we were 9 points down against Monaghan, and we were 6 down against Armagh at one stage, and we've come back to get results in both of those games. Now, we can't afford to give Dublin that type of start on Saturday night, but and saying that, you know, the lads really come back well in those games, and as I said, showed great character.
Are we seeing a sea change in the game and the way it's played, and it's been a more offensive game, and we've seen, you know, big scores in all games at all levels this year?
Yeah, I think so. I think the game's gone that way. You know, for a long period it was around the defence, and scores were hard to come by. You know, a lot of teams now, especially top teams, have gone, you know, really on the offensive and racking up big scores. And listen, we've been putting up a lot of big scores down over the last number of years. But, you know, ultimately you've got to get the defensive end of it right too, and that's something that we'll continue to work on. And, you know, there's a fine balance between that attack and that high scoring, and also being tight at the back. And it's not just about the back six anymore, it's about the whole team defending as a unit. And it continues to be a work in progress, and the majority of teams, the top teams, are still looking at trying to get that right and getting that balance right, you know.
Yeah. Has it become more difficult for defenders have the new rules made it more difficult? The forward mark, the black card, the penalty inside the 20?
Yeah, there's no doubt that's been part of it, all right. And what most teams now putting a lot of emphasis on attack, so there's a lot more attacking going on. And those rule changes haven't helped from a defensive point of view. But listen, it's the same for everyone, Tom, and I think it's become a really good spectacle. I think the games that we've been taking part in this year in terms of the National League have been all really, really good close games and high scoring games, and a lot of really good football. And as I say, long may that continue. Will it continue into the championship? It's hard to see. That'll not change that much, but, you know, teams will probably line up a wee bit more defensive. But as I say, we're not looking past this weekend, and really looking forward to see the challenge of probably the best team that has played Gaelic football, and that's Dublin.
And talk to me, you mentioned that you had picked up knocks and injuries, and obviously we know that Michael Murphy missed the game against Armagh after being forced out of the game against Monaghan. How is Michael?
Yeah, no, Michael, he'll not be ready this weekend, but I mean, the plan all along was to have him ready for championship, and that's we're on par for that there. And Michael should be ready and ready to go in a fortnight's time against Down. So that was the that was the plan all along. And as for everyone else, I mean, as I say, we're not going to risk anyone on Saturday night just carrying Knox. And we, as I say, we have another training session to get done tomorrow evening, and we'll look at that there. But we'll still be putting out a team that's going to be, we're hoping it's going to be fairly competitive, and a team that's going to, you know, there'll be a lot of questions posed on Saturday night from the Dublin perspective, who have done extremely well in the National League. You know, when they're playing their big guns, when you see Conor Callaghan and Kieran Kilkenny, Brian Fenton, Johnny Cooper, Mick Fitzsimmons, Cormac Costello, Niall Scully, have all been playing regularly. So, yeah, they've got a strong unit, so it's going to be a real good challenge and a really good test for us on Saturday night.
And who's in that risk category that you're not going to, well, you can't make a decision on yet?
I'll not be naming any players, Tom. We'll look at that tomorrow night, going to come through and who's not. But as I say, we will have a competitive, you know, lads will get an opportunity on Saturday night again, and we've done that throughout the league, and that's continuing on Saturday.
Yeah, and Neil McGee had to drop out at the last minute, the last day against Armagh. How is he?
Yeah, no, Neil's come back into training now this week, and again, as I say, no more than anything else, we'll just keep an eye on him for Saturday, but also in terms of the bigger picture in 2 weeks' time. So, yeah, the medical team will look after that, and say I'll meet with those after training tomorrow night, and we'll decide on team selection for Saturday.
And talk to me about Dublin, and you mentioned a lot about the old guard, but they have some new players as well. Have you got to see much of Dublin this year?
And listen, we've seen all the games on TV, no more than anyone else. We've been on, I think, the Stephen Gall games have been on live, and Dublin games have been on live, so we've been fit to see all the games. And yeah, listen, Dublin haven't changed. They're still very economical, you know. They're putting up high scores. They're hard to break down, and as I say, they haven't won the last six of Ireland without being the best team in the country. And as I say, the best team that's probably played Gaelic football. So listen, it's a big test, it's a big challenge, but it's one that, as I said, players and management are looking forward to.
Yeah. How do you match them?
Listen, it's not going to be easy. We go at them and we'll see exactly what happens. They're not easy to play against because I say they're very good on the ball and they're very good defensively, but listen, we've been looking at them over the last week now, and hopefully, as I say, we will be able to make it a very competitive match. And as I say, at the end of the day, we're going up there to get a result. You know,
I don't think this particular squad, Dublin team, and certainly under Jim Gavin, and I'm sure Desi Farrell has carried on the same. You know, I don't think they underestimate any opposition, but certainly they won't Donegal, given Donegal's record and what happened in 2014.
No, listen, 2014 is long gone since. So we've got to get, as I say, it's been Dublin have got stronger along the way, and as I say, they've won the last six All Ireland. So, no, listen, as I say, we've always, you know, we've been competitive with them over the last couple of years, and you know, there's probably going to be a number of younger lads going to be playing on Saturday night, so it'll be a real, you know, a real good test for those guys to see where those lads are at. As I said, against a really good side, and it's a game, as I said all along, that, you know, once we knew it was Dublin, that you know. That's one we're looking forward to. And as I say, 2 weeks prior to the championship, it's real good preparation for lads getting up to speed too. And as I say, it could be a really, really good match on Saturday night in Berkeley.
Well, we're hoping it's going to be a really, really good match. That's Declan Bunner, Donegal boss, ahead of the clash with the Dubs this coming Saturday. Full live match commentary, of course, here in Highland from just after the 7 o'clock news from that one. Elsewhere in the semi-finals this weekend, Derry are taking on Limerick at Carrick and Shannon at 4 o'clock in the Division 3 last four encounter, also on Saturday afternoon. Derry just one game away now from gaining promotion to Division 2 of the football leagues. A one on Saturday would secure their move out of Division 3 and take a place in the league final. The Oak Leaf County, who are bidding to return to Division 2 for the first time since 2017, have blazed a hot trail to the semi-finals, winning all three games by a combined total of 35 points. This week I've been speaking to Derry boss Rory Geller, who is confident his side can gain promotion this coming weekend.
I suppose there's a lot at stake, so there is naturally the winners go up, so there's a certain amount of pressure on that, but it's a situation we very much wanted to be in before the league commenced.
You didn't get promotion last year. Do you think you have learnt enough from the disappointment of last year to get you over the line this time around, Rory?
I definitely think we've learnt an awful lot from the way we went about our preparation and our performances last year, and we're playing a far more consistent level that I would certainly be more pleased with. So whether that's good enough or not, it's up to us now to produce it, but I'm confident that if we produce the level of performance or anywhere close to what we're capable of at the weekend, it'll be good enough to get us promoted.
Yeah, what has been what has impressed you the most over the three games, Rory?
just the kind of relentless hunger to play as a team, you know. So it is. I think we were a bit too individualistic, you know, last year. Maybe weren't committing to always doing what's best for the team with and without the ball. And I just find a vast difference in that now. And the level of conditioning is one thing, you know, which is easy to say. But it's the level of commitment to playing for each other with and without the ball has been a huge impact for us, I feel.
Yeah. Rory, through the years you had this tag of being a defensive manager and defensive head coach. Given the fact that Derry have put up some very, very impressive high scores in their three games, I think it's fair to say that, that maybe that defensive tag has somewhat moved away. Would you agree?
I would certainly still like to have a brilliant defence. And we take great joy, and I certainly do, in how we defend, Oisín, you know. And if we can keep Limerick to below 8 or 9 scores, it'll give us an unbelievable opportunity to win. But look, I'm very pleased with how we're attacking. We've naturally caught the eye with the score lines we've put up. And to be honest, we've left a lot behind us as well. So we've been very dominant. But it's about getting a good balance between both, you know. But also, you know, having the ability to get primary possession gives you a much better chance of attacking as well.
Yeah, it was interesting to hear Christy McCaig speak after the Cavan victory, that Derry have stepped up, but there's still a bigger step to go, and the fact that trying to get consistency within the game and game management, Rory.
Yeah, no, he's right. You know, listen, you know, with all due respect to Longford and Fermanagh, both games were pretty much non-events from fairly early in. You know, we got very much on top. And you know, the Cavan game was a much truer reflection of us definitely not being the finished article. We produced some brilliant football with some just poor, I suppose, moments in games that allowed Cavan a lot of energy. And, you know, on another day we could have been caught, and maybe against better quality opposition we could have been caught. But look, we feel we've improved. We know there's a good bit to go, but it's certainly a road that we want to be on.
Yeah. Are you happy enough with the venue and how it panned out, a neutral venue for the semi-final, Rory?
Yeah, listen, I think both teams would have preferred Dublin in the sense it's a more direct road to us, but look, we'll be delighted to get to play in Carrick and Shannon. You know, it's a neutral ground. We didn't want to risk a town cost and have to go the whole way to Limerick, and I think they were the same. So look, we knew before that it's likely to be a neutral venue, so it's the same for both teams.
Yeah, what do you expect of Limerick at the weekend? What sort of side are they, Rory?
Look, as was Oisín, you know, I wouldn't have seen them much over the last 4, 5, 6 years, but obviously we've watched the video footage of their games, you know, and they're very big around the middle of the park, you know, and they have a couple of really good inside forwards, but you know, from our point of view, we focus it on ourselves. Limerick, you know, are on a high. They came up from Division 4, and you know, in the first year in Division 3, they put themselves within one game of getting promotion. But we just have to focus on, you know, bringing the proper attitude and getting to the right intensity levels. And I feel if we do that, it'll be enough.
Yeah. Have you seen the right amount of players that you wanted to see, Rory, over the course of the last number of games, the last 3 games? And are you closer to what would be your settled side now? You're starting 15 with Championship just around the corner.
Yeah, Oisín, I think we're very close. We've made very minimal changes in the 3 games. You know, I think maybe same team played the first and second games, and one fella missed the last day, and we brought in Paul McNeil for that. So there's only really 16 players have started it. I feel that's what I've been looking for, to have consistent selection. You know, the lads have played well and they've deserved to hold on to their place, and I hope that continues after the weekend.
Yeah, everybody fit then for the weekend, yeah?
Just Brendan Rodgers, Oisín, that went off with a hamstring strain the last day. This game will just come too soon for him. Maybe another week or 10 days. But other than that, we've everybody fit and we're happy with that.
Okay, listen, Rory, thanks for talking to us and the best of luck against Limerick at the weekend.
Thank you.
That's Derry boss Rory Gallagher ahead of the game with Limerick, where if they take a win, they will, of course, have secured promotion into Division 2, which would be one of the boxes ticked ahead of Championship for the Oakleaf County. Elsewhere in the Gaelic Games front, it's going to be busy club-wise in the North West, and in particular in Donegal, because the All-County Leagues for 2021 swing back into action this weekend. The bulk of the ties are all on Sunday afternoon. There's a handful of games on Saturday and some on Friday as well, but there's full programmes across the 4 divisions to be played, with the action starting tomorrow evening, Friday at the Burn Road, with Termon taking on Milford in a derby clash tomorrow evening. There's also Senior Hurling League games penciled in for the weekend as well, club-wise in Donegal, with Éireux against Buncrana, McCool's up against Dunloe, Cairn, Donagh will play Satanta, and St Eunan's will meet Burt. Those 4 games in the Senior League are all set to be played on Friday evening. Let's go to soccer. The League of Ireland Premier Division resumes after the mid-season break tomorrow Friday, with both Fun Harps and Derry City in action tomorrow evening. Harps, of course, are travelling to Dublin to the Talla Stadium to play in front of 1,000 fans against Shamrock Rovers. The break has given the injured party around Finn Park the chance to rest up, and manager Ollie Horgan hopes to have more players available for the second half of the season. Harps are sixth in the standings, and Horgan acknowledges that they have improved on the pitch, but says they need to get improvement on the result front as well. Highland's Chris Ashmore caught up with the Harps manager this week, where they talked about staying in the division, bridging the gap to the bigger teams, and transfers next month. And was the mid-season break beneficial to the Harps squad?
You know, there was no real place that the players with their families and that could go, that we could have done with it maybe later rather than after 14 games with 22 games to go. However, there was obviously reasons behind it, which I'm not quite sure what the reasons are, but you know, it's done. They had their time off, and physically and maybe mentally that they'll get over the Sligo defeat, and we're back in here today looking forward to Shamrock Rovers, Chris.
So at least some of the guys who are on the treatment table or had niggling injuries, it's given them a little bit of space. So I take it you will have a stronger squad going into the Rovers game.
Hopefully. You know, I think every squad, including Shamrock Rovers, will have players back within the 2 weeks. And maybe it came at a good time to a degree because we lads with niggling injuries. But, you know, so long as the extra week is going to clear it up. Otherwise, we put them in against Shamrock Rovers with the high intensity of that kind of a game, with the way they play, we could do damage in it again. But yeah, it can only be an advantage injuries-wise to us and to everyone else.
We're not even halfway, so an awful lot can happen yet. But overall, sixth in the table, you would have taken this at the start of the season?
You'll take it at the end of the season, Chris, if you avoid, obviously, the relegation and the relegation playoffs. But that way, it doesn't matter where you are at this stage.
Yeah.
I've said that from the start. Like, with 14 games in, obviously, the Sligo defeat was very disappointing for a whole load of reasons, you know, like the likes of the Bohemians defeat and the Pats defeat. We were second best by a long, long way, and we knew we had to put things right. It's difficult to put your finger on it where we lost that game, but fair play to Sligo, you know. But it's 10 days since it, and it still hurts, and you know, we probably would have been better after the game on the Monday night after it and move on from it and try and get over it quickly. But we played quite well and still lost, and that's disappointing from a Sligo point of view. They'll only kick on from that if they need to kick on at all. Like,
when you look at the table, people say the table doesn't lie, and you look back at matches, there's some games you should have got points out of, there's some that you maybe got the rub of the green. So yeah. Is it a fair reflection, do you think, of where you are?
Well, I hope so. Put it that way to you. Like, but you've got people below you. You've got the likes of Dundalk. I don't know where Boas are. Are they behind us or level?
Just over us.
I mean, yeah. They're not going to stay there. Yeah. Derry will look at, obviously, catching you. As I said, we need to avoid the 9th and 10th place, and anything after that is a bonus. Like, you know, and that's where we're at. It's just we have bridged the gap in a lot of games, excluding the Boas and Pats game. But we still didn't get results out of it. I mean, other times against Sligo, for example, you know, if we didn't play well, they'd have beaten you comfortably. We did play well, but they still bet you. And that's a disappointing part of it. Like, had we been beaten 3-0 out the gate like we were with Pats or Boas, it might be different. And it's still hurting, to put it that way to you. And we need to move on, because if we're not right in telling on Friday night with who we're playing and where we're playing them, we'll be out the door early, you know, to put it that way to you. So, look, we need to prepare for that and get over it as long as it took to get over.
Yeah. The transfer window, will we see any activity in the Ballybofey region?
We'll see. You know, we'll see with lads that are staying and happy to stay. And like, we're happy with the squad we have, and we'd be very happy to continue with that. So we need to see what the next couple of weeks bring. Obviously, the window opens at the 1st of July. There's a couple of lads on loan that we need to see where they're at as well. So no, we're not out there running mad, you know, looking for 3 or 4 players, nothing like that, Chris. You know, but we're always on the lookout to see if there is anyone available that we can take in. But we also need to honour what is here, and lads that have, you know, kept working away without huge amount of game time, and we need to honour their, you know, endeavour and their maybe attitude as well, rather than just looking outside all the time.
fair to say that Ollie Horgan managed sides in the last few years have generally pushed on and had a better second half of the season than the first half?
I'm not quite sure. Like, you know, yeah, probably wouldn't have been here last year because we struggled in the restart in August. We finished better, yeah, October, September, November, that type of months. And we've had to try and stay in the division. You know, it would be great to do the same. And we might need to have to do the same if we're to survive because, you know, the likes of Waterford have a new investor and they're going to kick on. I think Longford have been very unlucky in games that I've watched them in. And they're going to pick up points. But we need to improve, and you know we have improved on the pitch, but we need to improve results wise as well. And while we have bridged the gap against the better teams, we're still coming out the narrow margins, the wrong side of it, and there's not much point in bridging the gap unless you can pick up results along the way.
Has anything surprised you in the league this year?
I think the first run of games were very, very close. I think what surprised me was that some of the better sides took that long in getting going, but they've now got that they're up and running, and we knew it was going to be tight, and it's still going to be tight from now to the running. We just don't need to go on a run of like we did last year with 7 or 8 games and getting a win. We need to pick up results maybe more frequently to try and stay above water, if that makes sense. But look, we'll see where it goes. We need to put in a good shift this week to make something out of Tallaght to start with, and that's really all we're focused on at the moment. Like,
and finally, just in terms of home advantage and the crowds coming back, there'll be a bit of a crowd at Tallaght, which obviously is going to favour Rovers. Derry haven't won a league game at home at an empty Brandywell. Do you think this could distort things in the second half of the season?
Well, I mean, all we're concerned is getting the crowd in at home. I mean, we've never picked up as many points away from home, and probably, you know, we normally picked up, I won't say what percentage, certainly 75% at home, and the reason being that it's evened out is simply nothing to do with the support. Our support is second to none, and it just whatever about Shamrock Rovers do on Friday and pack the place out with 1,000 Shamrock Rovers supporters, so be it. It's if we could get that 1,000 in that have backed us through thick and thin, and the proper support, Christian, it's not just me, you know, patting them on the back, absolutely not. We miss them, and the fact that we survived last year by the width of the post, I just hoped by now we'd have had them in, and please God, maybe in 2 months' time we will have them in, because we need them to try and get over the line, to put it that way.
That's Harps boss Ollie Horgan. Well, Harps, of course, are resuming the Premier Division campaign tomorrow night, 6th in the table, but former Rovers player Ethan Boyle wants Harps to finish in as high a place as possible. Boyle, of course, is returning to his former home tomorrow, and he's been telling Chris Ashmore that 3 points on Friday would be amazing.
In Tallaght as well, yeah, so it's going to be very tough. But we know how good they are. Every game is a big one. Like any player that plays against their former team, like, you know, maybe you could say there's a bit extra in it, but it's just another game, really. Like, you know, I'd be happy with 3 points. Like, I wouldn't care how I play or how we play. If we can get 3 points, that would be amazing. But, you know, that's all that matters is the points come the end of the season. So,
now, you had a spell, of course, up at Rovers. So how many of their current squad would you know fairly well?
A good few of them were there during my spell. I would know the majority of them, bar maybe the few new boys they brought in. But no, I would know most of them. Like, you know, good lads.
Yeah. So, looking at the way the season's gone so far, Harps got off to a brilliant start. Then you went through a period that you found it hard to pick up points. We're not even halfway, but 6th in the table is decent.
Yes, it's good. Like, I think if we could have that position come the end of the season, everyone would be happy with that. But like you said, we're only halfway through, so lots of games to play, and there's no easy games at all. So, picking up points to you know, ultimately stay in the division and then maybe try and stay up high up the table as possible, but yeah, no, 6 is good, but it's still halfway, you know, a lot of games to play.
Would you go along with the view that some people have that there's maybe sort of 3 mini leagues within the top division?
Yeah, I suppose you can look at it like that. Me personally, I mean we were 4th for a while, and then we kind of dropped to 5th, and then now 6th. Like, to just kind of try and maintain one spot would be good, like, you know, and try not to get dragged into a relegation battle would be ideal. You know, if we can have a few games left and you know we're not in a dogfight, that'll be, I'm sure, looked at as a good season for us. But you know, like myself and others, I'm sure we'd want to try and do a little bit better than that, you know, considering we've got a good team. So
yeah, I mean, you've got the rub of the green in some games, you haven't got in other games. And yet, I suppose, if you look at the game so far, I mean, there's games there that you should have maybe got more out of. So, every reason to feel that you can push on.
Yeah, definitely. Like, there's some games where, like, maybe Longford, for instance, away, where we drew and we kind of felt maybe it was an opportunity to get 3 points, you know, but it wasn't meant to be. And but, yeah, there was a few games like that where maybe we could have got a point or we could have got three and we left with nothing, but... that's just football. Like, sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't go your way, and like, thankfully we've had bits of luck go our way and we're in a good position. Not all because of luck, but you know, we're a good side. But sometimes you don't get that, and it can be the difference between winning and losing the game or getting a point or whatnot. But it just is what it is for all the punches.
And from your own point of view, I mean, it's a fairly settled side. I mean, the back four, back five, and you've been a regular, so you must be pleased enough with the way the season's gone.
Yeah, I'm happy with the season. As a whole, yeah, I think we're doing well. Personally, I think I started playing okay the last few games. Maybe took me a while to get back into things, but no, I think it's, yeah, like, you know, as a team, we're doing okay, and we're not struggling as such so far or anything like that. So no, it's a good start anyway, for sure.
And finally, just who's your tip for the Euros?
My tip for the Euros, I don't know. I think France. France, I think.
There you go, that's Ethan Boyle tipping France to win the Euros, and hopefully seeing his Harps come away with a positive result tomorrow night at the Tallaght Stadium against Shamrock Rovers. Well, Rory Higgins has warmly welcomed the news that at least some fans will be in attendance, as his side prepares to welcome Bohemians to the Brandywell tomorrow night. Both teams went into the break on a decent run of form, with City losing just once since Higgins took the reins. Derry, however, are still without a home win this season. On the team front, Danny Napanu is injured and won't play any part, while Darren Cole is suspended. Kieran Harkin has been telling Kevin McLaughlin it's going to be exciting to football back, and indeed fans back at the Brandywell as well.
We got a few days off and we're back at them. We're ready to go again. Training's been good and we're just looking forward to a game now on Friday.
Obviously, you're playing Bows back at the Brandywell, and more importantly, fans at the Brandywell.
Oh, well, it's good to see fans back. I know it's not all of them, and I know it's not a full capacity, but it's some, and it's a start, so things are looking up, and it'll be good for us to play against in front of the fans again, so we're looking forward to it.
Well, it's a case where away from home has been fantastic this season. It's just trying to get this elusive one at the Brandywell and be a great way to do it on Friday night.
Oh, well, that's it. It's getting that one's the main thing, and it doesn't matter if it's home or away. It's getting 3 points every week's the main target, so hopefully we can get the 3 points now on Friday, and obviously, as you say, it'll be the monkey off the back for the home one, so looking forward to it, and hopefully we can get them 3 points.
And it just sort of kicks things on, because just going under the break, you had the great result at Drogheda. You probably didn't want the break to happen, but now it's just trying to build on that and just kicking on the second half of the season.
Oh, well, that's it. We have been in a good run, and obviously so has Bowes, but we're just looking to kick on now and get as much points as possible on the board and get as high as possible up at Tibble. And it's just taking each game at a time now and getting as high as we can up at Tibble.
That's Kieran Harkin, Derry City player, ahead of the game against Bowes tomorrow night, where Derry, of course, are still looking for their first home win of the season. Okay, finally, we go to cricket. The North West Senior League returns on Saturday with the first round of group games in the 40-over competition. The 15 senior clubs have been split into groups of 7 and 8, with teams playing each other once in a round-robin basis. The top 4 in both groups at the end of the phase will then contest the Premier Trophy, while the remainder will compete for the Championship. I've been talking to Eamon McLaughlin on what to watch out for this weekend after what has been a highly competitive T20 competition in the weeks running up to this coming weekend's 40-over competition.
Very much showing some exciting finishes. Even every week that the competition was on, there was matches went to the last over, sometimes to the last really ball. They got it finished last weekend, and four teams in the semi-final now: Eglinton, Brigade, Donnymana and Brady. And the draw was made for that competition the other day, and it's Pitt's Brady against Brigade, and Eglinton at home to Donnymannock. So four big sides through to the semi-finals of Ballymolloy Cup.
Yeah, and obviously them dates have yet to be confirmed for those semi-finals. But listen, it's a good competition to start for the beginning of the 40 over league, sort of, isn't it, Eamon?
The players love it. The players love that T20 because the only problem they have, a lot of them don't get into bat because of it only, obviously, 20 overs per side. But it's exciting to the players. The players are just delighted to get back playing. That was the main thing after this pandemic that we're going through.
Yeah. So then tell us about the new format for the Senior League this year because of the pandemic and how things panned out over the last year or so, Eamon, and why they made the changes.
Yeah, they've got, as you say, split into two groups with a mixture of second division clubs and premier clubs all run together. So it's a change from the previous, well, not so much from last year, but previous years when you had the top eight playing in Senior 1 and Senior 2. But this time they're mixed together, so you can have a Senior 1 side playing a Senior 2 side. So it's good for that, although I think the class will probably show, I would imagine, that the Senior 1 sides, they'll be the ones that will be in there at the death.
And the opening round of fixtures this weekend, Eamon, obviously there's two standout games. I think it's fair enough to see Brady against Brigade and Dunamana against Coleraine, the two big matches of the weekend.
Yeah, those are the two that do stand out. And of course that Brady Brigade game is a rehearsal for the Fallon Valley semi-final, so somebody will be looking to get their noses in front there. Dunamana, home to Coleraine, difficult for Coleraine. They've lost a number of players and they had an ordinary enough T20 competition. So Dunamana, they were very disappointing last Sunday. They're all out for 49 against Ardmore. They already had won the group right now, so that may have come to do with it. They may not have been in full stretch. But those are the two games certainly that stand out this Saturday.
Elsewhere, Eamon, Bonds Glen against Ardmore, St Johnston play Fox Lodge, and Strabane against Glendermot in Group A. And I suppose three interesting ties. How do you think these ones will go?
Yeah, well, I would fancy Ardmore. They'll just go up the road, Bonds Glen, pretty convenient then. You fancy Ardmore have got off to a really good start, finishing second to Dunamana in their section of the T20. St Johnstone will be delighted if they can get back playing at home, because they've had to use Foyle College for their opening couple of games. But with the restrictions, I think maybe each now, they may be able to get that home game. So they'll look for a result. They've had one so far, so they could get another one this weekend. Strabane, missing the Gillespie's, obviously all retired now. But young Tom Harper's batting very well and getting runs for them. And Glendermot, professional, still hasn't arrived for them. They hadn't arrived up the last weekend. But they have a good player, Nathan McGuire, signed this year. He's getting a lot of runs. So I would fancy Glendermot, maybe they turn Savannah over in that one.
And the other two games in Group B as well, Eamon, new buildings against Kelly Clooney and Burn Dennett against Eglinton. They're in the same group as Dunamana and Coleraine.
That's right. Well, New Bullings would fancy them. They won that one. They've got Gareth McKeegan and Johnny Thompson from last season, strengthened them a lot. And the other one, Burndennet and Eglinton. Yeah, well, Eglinton have qualified, obviously, for the semi-final of the Fochan Valley. They should prove too strong for Burndennet. Eglinton will fancy themselves very strongly there.
Okay. Just finally then, your tip for ahead of the season, who's going to be the standout team? Who do you think will be winning this Premier Trophy, Eamon?
Well, nothing strange for me to be tipping Dunamana. Although Brigade have played 6-1, 6 in the T20, so they're going to be a force to be reckoned with as usual. But between those two, I would think with pumping for Dunamana.
Yeah. How many of the predictions have you been right over the last number of years, Eamon?
I've got a few right now, especially Dunamana. Tipped them to win the double 1 year and it happened, so not too bad.
Good stuff indeed, Eamon McLaughlin there, looking ahead to the cricket action. Well, that's it from another edition of The Score. You will, of course, be able to go to the sports section of HighlandRadio.com to listen back to all the pieces tonight. Next Sport in Highlands tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news with Chris Ashmore. So until then, what's left of your Thursday, enjoy it, have a good one.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Cash for Clubs at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, the new loyalty scheme that rewards your club every time you shop at michaelmurphysports.ie.